Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your number one source for the latest in WWE news and straightforward analysis. Are you ready to get this thing going?
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
Then let's get this show started right now.
All right, everybody, welcome to the WWE Podcast. We are live right now. No safety net. It is Thursday, September 29th, 2022, and we have a live episode of The Mailbag happening as we speak. And, you know, if you want to call in, now is the time to do that. And we will get your answer, hopefully, live on the air here, and we can converse live. You don't have to worry about me sitting back with nobody to rebut my opinions, because right now you can call in. That number is 319-527-6765. So that's the number if you want to call in, and I know I've got some people that might call in. If we don't, then hey, I'll celebrate by myself. I've got emails. I've got voicemails that we can get to. So if that doesn't, if we don't get live callers, no problem, because we've got some things in the bank that we can talk about. And, you know, this is going to be a lot of fun because I haven't done a live show in a long time. I used to do this quite a bit, and I stopped because, well, it costs money to do this, but also the voice quality isn't as great when I do it on Blog Talk Radio. So I have to say, it doesn't exactly give us the best audio quality. So if it sounds like we're not up to par with your normal quality that you're hearing, it just seems a little kind of staticky or radio-y. That's because it's Blog Talk Radio that we are recording through. But I hope you enjoy this episode nonetheless. And we've got a lot to get to tonight. And let's start out with the voicemail, because I've got a voicemail here ready to go. And let's all listen to it together right now.
Hey, it's Kyle from Baltimore. So I wanted to defend myself because I listened to the voicemail earlier today about from casual wrestling fan, that's his name, right, who crapped on me about me crapping all over Bianca Belair and Roman Reigns. Here's my issue with Bianca Belair, because I've been, and why I personally feel like she's not, I don't find her all that great compared to Becky Lynch or even Alexa Bliss or, yeah, Sasha Banks, whatever. The main reason why I feel the way I feel about Bianca is because of it comes down to me just only watching Bianca back in 2019 when I first saw her. When it comes to Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks and even Seth Rollins, I watched them from 2012, 2015. Well, I was a teenager and in my late teens. So with Becky Lynch, I was a fan of her the first moment I saw her. And then I grew up watching Becky, watching her with interviews, with matches, with promos, and the evolution of the last figure to the man, to Big Time Dex, to the man again. So I just like Becky a lot more than Bianca Belair. And I feel like she's a lot, for my personal opinion, more, a little bit better than Bianca Belair because of, I just feel like she's slightly better. And ever since WrestleMania, I haven't seen anything that makes me think that Bianca is like a top level star. I'm not a Bayley fan, but Bayley is doing incredible work in this heel role and is more entertaining. Now, is her character right now not all that great? Sure, it'll get better, hopefully. But in terms of just, I don't know. I like Bianca. I like her matches, but in terms of who I really like is Becky Lynch, is Alexa Bliss, is Seth Rollins. I'm okay with Bianca, but I think she's going to turn heel or lose the championship. That's how I personally feel about it. But that's my two cents. I was going to speak my piece on that, but thanks for a call. Bye.
All right. Well, Kyle, definitely understand your sentiment about Bianca Belair. In fact, I'm not as extreme as you are, but I lean towards your opinion because I feel like Bianca Belair has been champion for too long now. I guess that's also a similar problem I have with Roman Reigns, although that's a whole different dynamic. At least Bianca Belair is there on a consistent basis. But Bianca Belair has felt for a while a bit stale. Bianca Belair for a while has felt, you know, that she it's kind of run its course, and that she's been champion for 2 years. It feels that way. Now, I know she hasn't been champion for the entire 2 years, of course. Becky Lynch was a significant amount of that time too, but she won last year's WrestleMania women's main event. She won this year's women's championship matchup. So, you know, she's had her moments, and it's just kind of time to move on. And I don't feel as strongly as I do with Bianca as I do with Roman. Roman is a different category for me as far as the championship run goes, primarily because it's been over 2 years and Bianca's has been since WrestleMania. And I don't know. Bianca screams heel to me. I've said this before, but it's worth noting that they have somehow been fortunate enough or talented enough to be able to turn a heel character into a babyface endearing one. I mean, you have somebody in Bianca Belair that is calling themselves the EST. They're the best, fastest, strongest, brightest, strongest. I stay ready so I don't have to get ready. All this like kind of ego-centric, narcissistic speak from Bianca, somehow she's been able to deliver it in a way that doesn't make her feel and look like a total just head case. And that's a talent. That's an absolute attribute and credit to her for being able to do that and not have the crowd turn on her. But if anybody just thinks about this for 2 seconds, it's just kind of putting lipstick on a pig. What I mean by that is, You can do whatever you want to a pig. It's still a pig. I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. My analogy is this. Bianca Belair is a heel at heart. They're dressing it up with lipstick and deodorizing it with this kind of charm that she has. But the essence of her character is heel. That's what she is. Now, she doesn't attack people from behind and all that. But her personality is a heel. She's just doing a good job of suppressing it. But the principle of what heels are made of, being arrogant, thinking they're the best at everything, she is exactly that. But they've towed a fine line for so long, and the fans almost turned on her. Remember those constant Raw main events where it was like Becky Lynch versus Asuka, it felt like for 3 months straight, and Bianca Belair didn't get to talk. She was sitting at ringside for some odd reason. It was probably like 3 weeks or 4 weeks, but it felt forever, and it didn't do anything for her character. She felt very boring and uninspiring after WrestleMania. They didn't know what to do with her. I thought the fans were going to turn on her, and I was waiting for it. I wanted it, and they didn't. You know, so but you know, with Roman Reigns, of course, we can get into that a little bit later on, because Roman Reigns is going to drive the majority of this conversation, and I'm sure that we have people that want to talk about it. Look, I understand Bianca Belair is somebody that you're not exactly thrilled to be your champion right now, but I would say if I had a choice between Bianca Belair and Liv Morgan, I would choose Bianca Belair. I mean, I was on the Liv Morgan train for a little while because it was kind of like, oh, cool, Liv has a moment, and they've done nothing other than kind of disappoint with me. I mean, Liv Morgan, I really don't know where to point the blame on this, but somehow they've turned a heel turn of Ronda Rousey into a babyface turn, and they've turned a kind of beloved feel-good underdog story of Liv Morgan overcoming the champion into a heel character. And unintentionally, not on purpose, which makes it even worse. But yeah, so thanks, Kyle. No, I get it, man. I get it. So we're gonna get to how about we get to an email, and then maybe we'll take a call or two. Let's see here. Do I have any emails for you guys? Yeah. So, all right, let's get to one here from, let's see here. I know I have one. I think it's from, I got to get my damn date straight. This is not it. Okay. Well, the G-Man, I don't know if you meant to put this on the actual mailbag or not, but it's going to go on there. So here we go. The G-Man says, huge turnaround from Judgment Day. Months ago, it was nothing but loss after loss, and now they're in the main event after main event, and now they're the group to beat. Kevin Owens is on the biggest winning streak of his career. I don't see him losing anytime soon. And Dexter Lumis is so entertaining. He was so good in NXT, and I'm really enjoying him on Raw, and always or already got his first pet in The Miz. Dexter Lumis, let me go in reverse, is entertaining. And I don't know how serious we're supposed to take this program with The Miz. I think The Miz is just kind of in a comedy relief, but not in a terrible attempt at comedy way, just in a kind of a soft spot to land on Raw, where you know Dexter Lumis is going to pop up in the most ridiculous places ever, and he does, and it's fun, and it's not to be taken too seriously yet. So I agree with that. Kevin Owens, to your second point, is on a huge winning streak. I do wish he would be on the microphone more than he has been the last few weeks, but maybe too much of a good thing can spoil it. But Kevin Owens is right now one of the most entertaining parts of Raw, bar none, outside of the Judgment Day storyline that, as you just said, has been the main event of Monday Night Raw, and really just woven throughout Raw is the Judgment Day storyline. There's always that main storyline that's kind of threaded through Raw, where you'll see it three or four times in the show leading to whatever main event it is. And the Judgment Day has done a great job. The creative has done a good job of reviving this group that I thought was completely, completely dead after Edge was ousted. And I said, oh boy, you know, that's it. I said, Edge, they're done. You know, this is a terrible decision. And I still believe it was not a good decision, just because I don't think they fleshed out what they could have done with Edge there. And his heel turn was way too short-lived. But right now where they are is good. And I like what they're doing with the Dominic and the Rey dynamic, and Dominic taunting his father and his father still resisting. That's going to go on for a while before Rey finally snaps and does beat up his son, after his son does something completely horrific. It's going to have to be super extreme for Rey to turn on his son. And it's just going to be a great story to tell over the next few months, probably leading into WrestleMania. Let's see here. What do I want to do? It's my show. So it's my show. What do I want to do, guys? Let's take a vote. All right. Well, you know what? I got a couple calls. So I'm going to take one of the calls, and then maybe we'll get to a second call, or maybe we'll get to another voicemail. We got a lot to get to tonight, guys. And I'll try to be here for the hour, through 11 p.m., I don't want to go too much past that because I have my big boy job I have to get up for tomorrow morning. But all right, let's take the call. And I have a feeling, I can't remember if Mr. Casual Wrestling Fan is this area code or another, but we're going to find out real quick. I have a feeling, but let's find out. All right, area code 615. Do I dare ask? Oh, you're about to go live. State your name and where you're from, 615.
Hey, Matt, you know who it is. Casual Wrestling Fan.
There he is. How you doing?
All right. I'm pretty good, man. How you doing?
Good. I enjoyed our faux debate that I had. I had to cut up your voicemails into several so that I could go point by point. It was a lot of fun. You seem very impassioned by what Anthony and I had to say about Roman's run.
Yes, you know, Roman Reigns does that to you, you know. But, yes, I checked it out. It was real good content. I give you that, and I like your points. But, you know, I disagree, and that's okay. That's
you didn't change Reigns your opinion, and you didn't change mine, but it's fun. I agree, yeah.
Exactly.
But let me ask you this. So in your world, in this world, I mean, you love the Roman Reigns run, and I get that. Where would you end it, and who would you end it from? Like, who would be the one to end the streak, and where?
I keep saying this, and, you know, it's kind of my prediction. For me, it'd be Cody Rhodes, and it'd be SummerSlam 2023. That's how I would do it, you know, because I honestly, you know, a lot of people don't agree with this. What if Roman Reigns holds it to 2024? I mean, we had the same conversation as I said in the last show, you know, and we talked about it going out. But who's to say, like you said, who's to say 1,000 days is even the mark? You know, on the Evils documentary that Roman Reigns did, he said this is only the beginning. And then that show came out, what, 3-4 months ago? So, you know, 4 months ago, he's saying this is just the beginning. and you going on a part-time schedule, I think we in for a long Roman Reigns ride.
Boy, that's going to make a lot of people depressed. But, okay, so to you, though, okay, I could see that being realistic. I wouldn't say that that's out of the realm of possibility. Cody Rhodes is the heavy favorite to win the Rumble, and he's not even announced, and we still don't know when he's coming back. And so for him to go to WrestleMania and maybe face The Rock, or rather face Roman, is possible. But I also think that SummerSlam is not a bad place, considering that it's now a stadium show. But to you, I guess my question also is, would there ever be a point where you would get to where we're at and say, okay, enough is enough? Like, for you, what is that cutoff?
Well, I'm going to be honest, you know, and let's be realistic. You know, I talk about this when we take over the show. It's not boring to me. Roman Reigns still has plenty of opponents in front of him that he can face that's credible, you know. It's not like, I know a lot of people say, well, he's been did it all. Well, we still got Karrion Kross out there. He hasn't beat him. We seen Drew, and that was great. Nobody wants to see Logan Paul, but we're going to get it. We got Braun Strowman, the new and improved Braun Strowman. You got The Fiend comes back. You got The Fiend. You got Cody Rhodes. Everybody wants Seth Rollins, Roman. You know, so it's a lot of matches against credible opponents, which people will say, oh, no, Roman's going to finally lose it. Like with Drew, everybody said no. I believe you predicted no. Miss Casual Wrestling fans said, yo, no, Drew was going to win it this time, and it didn't. So it's not to say that, oh, it's boring, Roman's credible, we know who's going to win. We really don't, because people still pick against Roman. And I'm pretty sure on the Mailbag Takeover, we're going to have people writing in saying Logan Paul has a chance, but he doesn't. He has absolutely no chance.
None.
You know,
yeah.
But they're still credible opponents. If you put Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins together, a lot of people would say Seth got a chance. Roman Reigns, Cody. Cody's got a chance. Roman Reigns, new and improved Braun, if they can put him over. Got a chance. Karrion Kross has a chance. You know, so it's still a lot of people. Randy Orton, who's still out there that we're not listening to, thinking about, has a chance. It's a lot of people that you could put Roman next to, and people would say, I don't know. So I like the run it's going. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. That's the one thing that this part of his run has going for it now for me. I'm sure Anthony would say the same thing and others, is that, okay, it's not at least as predictable as it was the first 18 months, where you knew there was absolutely no chance. Of course, Logan Paul's the exception because Saudi Arabia's prince has, you know, a god amount of money and he's just getting to do whatever he wants. But we outside of that, it's now in the part of his run where, as you said, Seth Rollins, we would say, actually has a chance. Drew McIntyre, I picked against Roman. He had a chance. Kevin Owens has a chance. We're now into at least the more interesting part where every match he has, you know for a fact, is at least one match closer to him losing, and the chances every time he defends it go up for that person winning, because the longer it goes, there's got to be a time limit for this thing. So, that for me is the one saving grace is once he gets to Seth Rollins, gets to Kevin Owens, The Fiend, if he attacks, I mean, who the hell knows when The Fiend's coming back? The rumor is it's going to be Extreme Rules, and I don't know who he's going to attack. Who knows? We'll talk about that bridge when it actually happens. But at least we're getting to the part, again, where we are talking about people that actually have a chance versus the first 75% of his run that it was like, okay, cool. We know what kind of match. Let's see what kind of match we're going to get. We all knew Brock Lesnar in the five matches he faced Roman wasn't going to win, and that lasted so long. That was, to me, that was no fun because you knew he was going to beat Brock Lesnar.
Exactly, and, you know, that's why I'm still interested. They're putting Solo Sikoa in. Look at Sami Zayn, honorary Ooze.
Yeah, how do you like Sami Zayn?
It's great. Love it. I love Sami from day one. I love the angle they put him. They've been putting him. I love it. It's great. He's fitting in. He's got his own T-shirt. It's available on WWEShop.com and doing well. Anything and anybody that gets the Roman Reigns rub is an instant star. He's going to be champ. They can sell Sami Zayn shows because of Roman Reigns. Seth Rollins got a new shirt. How's it doing? Drew McIntyre's got new shirts. How they're doing? Roman Reigns puts out a new shirt every month or two.
Yeah, and he's
I mean,
he's
from a
selling
money standpoint,
like crazy. Yep.
Yes. Totally. From a money standpoint, if you're WWE, who else would you want to be champion? I know everybody, and I know fans, you hate to hear it. Wham, wham, wham. Roman Reigns needs to drop one belt. We'll be happy if Roman Reigns drop one belt. No. Keeping both belts. There's not going to be no split. It's not going to be one belt coming off of him. If Roman Reigns lose the belt, he's going to lose both. So to all the fans out there that want one belt, ask yourself, would you prefer Roman to stay both champions or prefer Roman to lose both belts? It's a no-brainer. Let him keep both.
But what do they do if – the thing is, if there's a brand split and they do another – well, there's really no brand split. They'll pretend there is, but there's not right now. If they do a brand split, true brand split, and do a reset with a draft, you don't think that they'll split the belt at all? You think it'll stay on Roman with the two championship belts?
Yes. I think he will still float as a champion because, I mean, think about this from a different aspect. You pulling your champion away from TV, which I know everybody says that sucks and that's bad. He should be on every show. But you're elevating your mid-card. Your mid-carders feel like main events. You got Damian Priest and Matt Riddle in your main event. These are mid-carders who's getting elevated. You know, it's more than just Seth Rollins, you know, holding the brand down. And I feel like that's the good part about Roman being away. Your mid-card all of a sudden feels like main eventers. And they do.
Yeah, I mean, they're being. I think a lot of that has to do with Triple H, too. I mean, if Vince were still in charge, I don't know how much time airtime Kevin Owens would have gotten over the last 2 months. I have my doubts. Triple H seems to understand the value of Kevin Owens, especially on the microphone. The promos he's had with Austin Theory, with Drew McIntyre out of nowhere, talking to Sami Zayn, saying, this isn't the Sami Zayn I know. What happened to you? To me, though, I mean, that's Kevin Owens at his absolute best. Of course, he's great in the ring. The mid-card guys now are being elevated, and sure, you're getting more time also for the United States Championship, the Intercontinental Championship, and that's great. Both of them needed a lot of help. Like, they were both on life support, sadly, and it's great to see that they're getting shine and they're getting the attention that they desperately deserve. I think that fans just the absentee champion thing is a big problem, and I think that they look at this and say, all right, well, we've had enough. We get it. Roman's a long-term champion. How much more can you get out of a longer run? I still believe it's a diminishing return. Like, we've crossed the path where there's not much more you could do. To me, at this point, he could be champion for 5,000 days, and I would not feel that they got any more out of it. To me, they passed that point of the maximum they could have got out of it because, okay, he runs through the entire roster. It's like, well, he's already done that anyway. Like, he's already run through everybody. Now they're just kind of cycling people back he hasn't worked with in 18 months, like Kevin Owens possibly in the near future. Seth Rollins hasn't worked with him since last Survivor Series. So, like, and I get it. It does kind of feel fresh, but to me, how much longer can you go? Why do they feel that the longer it goes, the better it is? There's not a single payoff they could do at the end of this, and I go, wow, that was totally worth it. There's nothing on this earth that I can think of that they do at this point that I would feel is worth all of this time. I mean, that's me.
And I can understand your point. You know, I'm not negating how you feel or how some fans feel, but if you look at the bloodline is secretly turning face. I mean,
yeah,
and people, and when I say that, don't harp on me, yes. But if we look at Stone Cold when he started off doing his thing, if you put Stone Cold in the 80s, he's a heel all day long. But in the new era that was turning, the Attitude Era was turning, he's perfect face. The bloodline, when Roman Reigns comes to your city, outside of Wales, you rarely see a city that's worse than 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Most crowds, if they're not 50-50, then they're 80-20 positive, popping. Roman Reigns is a draw. His shirts wouldn't be – he's not on TV and his shirt sells. He's not on TV. People love Roman. And I know, you know, some hardcore fans still on the other edge of the spectrum, and that's fine. But me, as a casual wrestling fan, when I'm at home, I'm putting my ones in the air, as most of the crowd is doing. You acknowledge him. He's getting to that upper echelon. When he comes, he sells tickets, he puts asses in seats. If you say Roman Reigns going to be in your city, you're going to go. It's a bummer if he's not.
Yeah. No, I absolutely, look, they have done a nice job of making it feel when Roman Reigns is there, it's a big deal versus the first 6 years of his career when he was there on a nightly basis and you just kind of go, okay, he's here again. It's amazing what time does when someone's not there. It's the old adage of absence makes the heart grow fonder, and it's true even for heels, and even a heel like Roman Reigns that is kind of low-key a babyface. I mean, when you look at what they did with Sami Zayn, Sami Zayn is really hard to boo. I mean, he really is hard to boo because he's been heel for like the last 5 years. We've had more than enough time to boo him. He's a likable guy inherently, whether he wants to try to emote that or not. He's funny, and I think that – I don't know if he's trying to be funny, but he's naturally got great comedic timing. And he's really good in the ring, which I think people forget how good he is in the ring because for a while he's kind of been that the butt of the joke heel that you know is going to lose, but you forget how good he can be. So, I mean, they do have a group outside of maybe the Usos, but – you know, they even, I think the fans respect enough to not boo, but like you listen, you hear the Bloodlines music hit, you hear Roman come out and you don't hear a chorus of boos. You hear people acknowledge Roman generally. It's not an overwhelmingly positive response, but it's not the intense heel heat that you'd imagine he'd have at this point because they've done a really good job at making him feel like a big deal when he's there. So yes.
And, you know, on Sami Zayn, briefly, they missed their chance to turn the Bloodline fully heel. If they would have kicked Sami out the group, I would have been like, why would they do that? That's, you know, you really, I think you'd have got a lot of fans' heat, even the crowd. They started booing when they thought he was serious. You know, Sami Zayn is over. I mean, there's no doubt about it, especially in his role. You know, him and Solo working great together. I love that Solo is so he's stoic. So when he did that Uranagi, it's so believable, you know. But Sami Zayn's on another level because of Roman Reigns, and he does have a great face turn coming soon. I actually think you got to watch out for Jay possibly being, you know, kicked out of the group. And I know that sounds so crazy, but you know, when everything first started, it started off with Jay. You know, he challenged Roman.
Yep.
And Hell in a Cell was a hell of a match. And, you know, especially with the tension between the two. But I like what I see. And like I said, for all the fans that don't like it, I'm sorry. You know, I feel for you to have a champion that you're not happy about. That's how I feel about Liv Morgan when I see on my TV.
That's
how y'all feel about Roman Reigns. That's how I feel about Liv Morgan. I can't stand it. And guess what? I'm going to be so happy when Ronda beats her at Extreme Rules. Get ready.
I think there's a very good chance that Ronda does beat her, and I'm kind of off of the creative bandwagon for Liv too. And I don't want to get too much of a deep conversation with this. I've got two other callers here. We'll get to you guys 516 and 704 in a minute. But to end on our conversation, I do want to say Liv Morgan, I have kind of seen the light of them doing a very poor job creatively at making her feel like a credible champion and not this kind of just opportunistic, happen to get, you know, a couple of lucky victories over Ronda, and people are supposed to cheer for this. I'm not on board for that. I don't feel that they have done a great job of making the fans get behind her outside of, ooh, she hasn't never been champion, and she's this underdog story. That's kind of worn off. The novelty of that's worn off, and now we're left with a champion that doesn't feel credible and doesn't feel like an authentic champion because of the way she won and then retained it. So I think she's in for a hell of a beating at Extreme Rules.
Hey, and I'm going to love every second of it. But let me ask you a quick question, and then I'll let you go. Take one belt off of Roman. Is both or none? Do you leave both on Roman?
I mean, it depends, because I look at WrestleMania as typically the time that you would end a streak like this. And I do believe the Rock Roman match will happen. I mean, I've said this so many times that I'm getting blue in the face, but if I was going to have a choice, I mean, I would take the belts off of him. If I don't have a choice, the belts don't split. I mean, I would take the belts off him. I know they want to get to the beautiful 1,000 days. It's going to create a nice documentary and they're going to have a big celebration, all that stuff. But I would take the belt off him now if I had a choice, only because I don't want the Rock Roman match to have the belt. It doesn't need the belt. In fact, it would take away from the match. I think that would be awful, and it would be not only just a bad idea because you know the Rock's not going to win it, but The Rock doesn't need a championship match. It takes a spot away from a guy that could use that in his career. So, you know, given that, we're so close to 1,000 days at this point, I'm just saying F it. Like, let's just get to 1,000 days so we can all get on with our lives. But if the Rock-Roman match is happening, take the belt off him now before we get to that match, because I don't want the belt involved.
So you said if it's Rock-Roman, no belts, but if it's not no. Rock and Roman, you let him keep it.
I'd let him go to 1,000 days if they're not going to do Rock-Roman for the championship. If it's somebody else they have at WrestleMania, then I'm cool with them getting to 1,000 days. We're already, what, like more than 75% of the way there. We're over 750 days. So, like, I get it. You're probably never going to get to this again for the next decade. Like, who's the next person that's going to have a run like this? Probably nobody. Like, in our lifetimes, we may see this a couple of times. It's very rare in today's modern wrestling era to see a run this long, which does make it special. But I would say if you're going to do this and it's not going to happen for a very long time, you're already three quarters of the way there. Just do it. We've already suffered through the 700. Well, I shouldn't say suffered. The last 100 days we've suffered, I think, for most fans. And just get to it and take the belt off them before we get to The Rock, because I think that would not be what the story should be centered around. It should be centered around family and the elders of the Samoan tribe and who's the real head of the table and all this. There's a lot more that it should focus on other than the championship, because The Rock, you know, is not going to win it. So.
Nope, totally agree. Well, I want to shout out to everybody out there. My boy New York Kyle, DJ Kuzmo, shout out to you. I know he's calling in. Tommy S. I can't go down the list. I'm not going to do that. But you have a great night, Matt. Hope you have a great night, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, you too. And so, guys, don't forget, you can check out Mr. Casual Wrestling Fan and Mrs. Casual Wrestling Fan next week, as next week is a pay-per-view week. Mr. and Mrs. Casual Wrestling Fan will be here to grace us with their presence and take your emails. So that'll be next week. But thank you, buddy. It's fun. And it's good to hear from somebody that actually does enjoy Roman's run, and I can talk about it. So, all right, let's get to the next call here. And I'm going to put on area code. Let's see who this is. I think I know, but let's find out. Area code 516, what's going on?
It's New York Kyle.
There he is. There's area code 5. There's how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good.
What'd you want to talk about?
I don't know. I wanted to join the live call. I've never done this before.
No. I'm glad you called. This is kind of you guys peer pressured me into this. I took a vote, and everybody's like, "Yeah, I got to do a live show." So you guys forced me to spend my money, and now I've spent my money. And this is pretty cool, though. Like, I enjoy this. Maybe I'll start doing this a little more often with the live call. What do you think about what's going on in wrestling right now? What do you think about Roman's run? It doesn't have to be Roman focused, but what do you think generally? How Triple H has done, I guess, since he's taken over the last couple of months?
I think Triple H has done a great job, definitely. But Roman's run, I kind of agree with Mr. Casual Wrestling Fan and you. I think you both have good points. I'm, like, on his side, kind of. Like, I enjoy the run. I'm still enjoying it, but you also have good points about how, like, it's getting a little stale and, you know, people getting sick of it, stuff like that.
Yeah, no, it's there's no argument that's right on this. I mean, I would say that both of us probably have good points. Neither of us are going to convince the other one. All of a sudden, they were like, you know, oh, wow, he has such a great point. I'm going to change my opinion. It's not going to happen for me. It's not going to happen for him. It's just, you know, and I think that's why what makes wrestling so fun and so subjective is that you can just have your own opinion and stand by them and have debates, and that's what makes it fun. But, you know, I understand and I respect Roman's run. I get it. I understand it. I guess we've just never been exposed to a run like this, at least in my lifetime. I've been watching wrestling since 1997. I can't remember a run this long. Unless I'm wrong, since 97, again, 1997 for me, I have never seen a run this long, which makes me also partially frustrated. Like, you know, like, what are they doing? Why is this so long? And so, like, after watching wrestling for 25 years, you get a little impatient when it doesn't end in like 6 months. You're just so used to championship runs going from like anywhere from, you know, 3 to 12 months at the very most, much less over 2 years. So, so how would you do it, Kyle? If you could end Roman Reigns' streak, How, where, what would the opponent be? Have you given it any thought?
Honestly, I think Drew McIntyre should have been the one that beat him for a Clash of the Castle. I thought that was a good moment for him to drop it, but they didn't do that. If it was me, probably next year at WrestleMania, either Cody Rhodes or maybe Seth Rollins. And like if they turned the babyface in the storyline or something, and he could beat Roman there, that's what I would do.
Okay, yeah, no, I think that's plausible. Let me just say, if The Rock does not show up or he can't commit or his movie schedules, whatever, the XFL, whatever 18,000 projects he's got going on, can't allow him to compete for WrestleMania, then I would say then it's probably going to be Cody Rhodes. And of course, Seth Rollins and Cody have unfinished business. There is unfinished business there, given how Cody went out with Seth attacking him with a sledgehammer, I think it was. So there, part four of that program will happen. But if Cody Rhodes comes back, he's already favored to win the Rumble. If he wins the Rumble and Rock isn't around, then it's probably going to be Rock and Roman. Cody and Roman at WrestleMania. And I don't know what Seth will be doing. Maybe he can interject himself in that too as a triple threat. But honestly, yeah, I mean, Cody Rhodes and Roman has not happened. And I think maybe that's what they're looking towards if The Rock is not available to take out Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And there, if you remember, that's what Cody Rhodes said, like his first day back in WWE. That was his mission statement is, you know, I'm going to win the championship that my dad never could, and I'm going to do it for my dad, all this. So he's already said that's what he's going after. It's just that he's been tangled up with Seth and then, of course, the injury that happened to him with the pec tear. So, yeah, I don't hate it, if I had my choice, it would be Seth Rollins, because he hasn't held a championship in some criminal amount of time. And same with Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens hasn't held a singles championship in 5 years. Like, that's impossible.
Crazy to hear.
What about the women's division? Do you have any thoughts on what's going on there? I know that Ronda Rousey is facing Liv Morgan, and then you have Bianca Belair, of course, on Monday Night Raw. What do you make of all this with Bayley and all that?
I still can't stand Ronda Rousey. I'm with you on that. I can't stand her. I honestly hope she gets released. I wouldn't care if she did.
Oh, wow. Man, Mr. Casual Wrestling fan's rolling, screaming into his phone right now. Oh, yeah.
Yes, sorry to him, but I hate Ronda. I also don't really like Charlotte. I'm glad she's not here right now. I don't miss her. I'm not a big Charlotte fan. I think he likes her too, actually.
Right now,
it's definitely getting better of Triple H. They need to start giving damage control some more wins, though, if they keep Kingston right. That's a problem. Like, they're champions and they're getting pinned.
Yeah, that's kind of like WWE booking like 101, though. They always do that, I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's a little overused where they have the champions lose non-title matches to create number one contenders. And then when the actual championship match happens, the champions retain. It's just that they suddenly forget how to win anytime this championship's not on the line. It's kind of a overused strategy. I understand behind it the reason they do it, but yeah, you're right. One more thing before we move on here. What do you think about the potential of Bray Wyatt, the White Rabbit, the QR code that's probably going to blip on our screens the next three shows before Extreme Rules? What do you think this is, Bray Wyatt? And if it is, how would you re-debut him against who?
I hope it's him. I don't see how it couldn't be him at this point. There's been so many clues of it being him. I can't think of anyone else who it could be. I don't know how they would re-debut him, though, after the whole thing of him losing to Randy Orton. I don't know how you can bring him back from that. I don't even know if he's going to be back as a Fiend again. I don't see him coming back at Extreme Rules, though, because it's like a B-show. Like, I see him coming back at, like, Survivor Series or maybe even till the Royal Rumble, but probably not that. It wouldn't do teasers that long. But, I don't know how they would re-debut him. It's hard to think of a way they could do it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I thought about too is, okay, if they re-debut him, how are they going to do it? I mean, do they just go with their tried and true formula of The Fiend? And I actually don't have a problem with The Fiend because it's been so long and the fans have missed him. And, of course, Bray Wyatt went through a lot of mental anguish with his real friend, John Huber, Luke Harper, dying, a little while ago, and he was in a really bad place. And, of course, that awful, awful WrestleMania ending with Randy Orton. That was maybe one of the worst WrestleMania matches of all time, and I hate to say that, but it was so bad with a great build-up.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And it was just terrible from start to finish. It's so weird for me to say that because of the competitors that they are. It's WrestleMania. Alexa Bliss is involved. But it was god-awful. The ending made zero sense. It was like a child created that, the matchup and laid it out. But, he had to leave. It was awful. And nearly as bad as the Hell in a Cell match with Seth Rollins that started to turn the crowd on the entire
character. I don't even want to think about that.
But at the same time, it's been so long now that I think fans would feel that it's fresh, and they would want to see the Fiend back. The Fiend was so over and so unique and so different that I don't see how they don't bring the Fiend. Maybe they alter the look a little, do some tweaks so it's not exactly the same, but the Fiend is a character that is going to be super over. The fans are going to be super into. I don't know if I'd try anything wacky or do anything that, is kind of risky. The Fiend, is going to be super over, and the fans will forget about all the nonsense with Randy Orton and all that. I think they'll be into it immediately. He could go right after Roman. I don't know. I mean, Roman actually has, as casual wrestling fans said, he actually has a nice set of opponents coming up, a lot of potential opponents. Cody maybe later, early next year, Seth, Kevin Owens, The Rock, Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman. He actually has quite a bit of opponents in front of him, which makes it a lot of fun over the next 6 months or so. I don't know who I'd have him interfere against. I don't even know. I really don't even know. He can't be a heel. If they try to make Bray Wyatt a heel, that's going to flop really bad.
Yeah, that will not work.
No. It didn't work when they did it the first time. I mean, they tried it.
Exactly.
Fiend was essentially a heel character, and it's not going to work. It's just too cool. It's too intriguing. You're never going to have people unanimously boo that character. But before I let you go, anything else at all? I mean, any other comments or questions?
Actually, yeah, one more thing about Bray Wyatt. From, I don't know if you saw this. People were saying, like, in the last QR code, there was another little hint of someone else it could be. There was, like, a link to, like, the website where it showed, like, another White Rabbit thing. And, like, people were saying in the source code, there was, like, two lines, and it was, like, it was the lyrics of Aleister Black's theme song. So people were thinking it could be him, too. But then he went on, like, his Instagram Live, Malachi Black, and he basically said, like, it's not me, I'm staying in AEW, I'm just taking time off. So he basically denied the rumor. But people think it might be him because it was the lyrics of his old theme song.
I don't think
it's him. I think it's just a coincidence, but you never know.
Yeah, I think that would be super in-depth, and I love how fans get so deep into this and come up with conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
I love it. It makes it so fun. But I would say that if it's not Wyatt, people are going to lose their minds. Like, if it's not Bray Wyatt,
yeah,
whatever this leads to, whatever it is, people are going to boo it. Unless it's Bray Wyatt returning, that's already what people have set in their minds. If it's not that, people are going to just boo it. I mean, I'm sorry. Unless it's something other than Stone Cold or The Rock, people are going to boo the hell out of it. Just because,
like
the
you said
fans
a few weeks ago,
yeah,
if it's not Wyatt, we riot. Like you said a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, somebody needs to create a sign and start trending it. If it's not Wyatt, we riot. I mean, that's what it's going to be. Is Extreme Rules in Philly? I think it is, right? Philadelphia.
I think
I think Philadelphia. So that's a big market. And if they end up coming to the conclusion of this White Rabbit story in Philadelphia, and it's not Bray Wyatt, that Philly crowd's not going to be kind. I mean, they are not kind. They don't hold back. They're one of those New York tough, kind of hardcore crowds. Chicago's another one. They're not going to hold back. So if WWE thinks they're going to get away with something cute, that it's a White Rabbit for something other than Bray Wyatt, good luck. It's going to be a disaster. So. Cool.
Definitely.
Well, thanks, Kyle. I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, no problem. It was fun. Also, one more thing again, really quick. Sometime I want to do a weekend review with you.
Okay. Yeah. No,
I've never done a review for you on this show. I want to eventually do one day. But I just don't have a lot of time for work and stuff, but eventually I want to do one.
All right. Yeah, definitely. Just so you know, it's usually Sundays at like 9:30 at night Eastern time. So that's about when I record the weeks in review. So whatever your schedule looks like at that time. So, all right, cool.
Yeah, whenever I'm free, I'll let you know.
So, just shoot me an email on Patreon or wherever. So, yeah, Cool. All right, buddy. Well, you enjoy the rest of your evening, and I'm going to get to one more call here, and then I've got more voicemails that you guys have sent in. So, okay, I think I know who this is, but I said that last time, and I was wrong. I don't know any of your numbers. This is awful. After all the times you guys have called in, I still, like, I don't, like, write down your numbers and have them in my, you know, phone, and I'm, like, you know, sitting here with an evil laugh, like, I know their personal numbers. I just, it's so bad I don't even know your area codes. It's embarrassing. All right, let's get to area code 70704. What's up?
What's up, Matt? It's Grace.
Hey, how you doing? Long time no talk.
Yeah, long time no talk. I'm good. How are you?
I am. I'm doing very well. I just holding this first ever live mailbag. I haven't done this in, I don't know if I've ever done it. That's why this was the 100th episode here. So,
well,
yeah,
it's a great idea. I love this format. I think it's awesome.
I'm really enjoying it too. The only thing is there's no safety net for me. So like the things that I edit out that no one has any clue about now
yep,
happen
yep.
live. So yeah, like I'm live, but so what's on your mind?
Well, first and foremost, I want to congratulate you on your 100th episode of the mailbag. It's a big accomplishment. And also thank you for the wonderful podcast and all the content you put out. I think that sometimes it can fly by like as underrated, but you do a lot for the podcast and you put a lot of content out. And also thank you for the other creators on the podcast as well, doing the other shows. It's just awesome. And congratulations, truly.
I appreciate it. I'm, you know, I just, it makes you appreciate with how much work it is, and I'm seriously not patting myself on the back, but it just makes me respect other people that do content creation for a living, whether it's YouTube or podcasting. Everyone thinks it's so easy because, you know, you just press play. Like as a consumer on the other end, you're like, oh, listen, you just hit play and listen. But people don't understand, you know, and I know you do podcasting too. It's just so much work that people don't see. And it gives you a new perspective when you're on the other side thinking, wow, it's way more than just, you know, oh, you just sit in front of a mic and talk and then you hit upload. It's so much more than that. And I know that you understand. So.
Yeah, it is definitely not for the faint-hearted.
No, it's not, but I appreciate the words, and, you know, we're just getting started here. As I've said before, it's a difficult space to compete in with so many of the wrestlers who have podcasts that come in with built-in audiences of like hundreds of thousands of people because they're wrestlers, you know, we've got The Torch, and we've got, you know, Jason Powell, who does an awesome job on Pro Wrestling Net, and like all, you know, and I love all those guys. They're great. You know, we all know who they are, and they actually inspired me to do this. And so, you know, but I know the place I'm competing in, and it's very competitive. It's not easy. But it's just something you need to stick with, and if you love it, you'll stick with it. So, cool. Did you have anything? Do you have anything going on in wrestling that you wanted to vent about, or ask about, or comment on?
Yeah, I have a couple things. I was gonna talk about or start off with Paige returning to wrestling. I have a slight opinion on that, especially after her first promo. You know. And I want to clarify before I start talking, because people get really sensitive about this. I like Paige. I love Paige. I'm glad she's back in the ring. I'm glad she's able to do what she loves to do. And I'm glad she's healthy and apparently medically cleared to wrestle. And I was super happy to see her back in wrestling in general, even though it wasn't with WWE. I think they fumbled the bag on that big time. But nonetheless, she's back in wrestling. After her first promo though, didn't go well. And, I think she had a really bad take, cause I don't know if you heard about, or did you see the promo at all?
So I didn't see the promo. I saw the return of, she's known as Soraya,
yeah.
Right? So, saw the return. People love that. She chased Britt Baker out of the ring, and I did not see the promo, last night, I'm assuming?
Not last night. It was the week before.
Oh, the week before. No, so I did not see it.
Or,
what?
might have been last night. I'm not sure. You might be right. I don't know. My dates are all mixed up. But basically, what happened was she took a jab at WWE. All right, and you know, AEW is known for taking jabs at WWE. It's nothing really new. But I think it was a really bad take, to be honest, because you know, she said, what was the line? She said, because I finally have a boss that listens to me. So the reason it's a bad take is because Paige or Saraya is one of probably the three or five women in WWE that has been pushed to the moon. And let's name these off, shall we? Inaugural NXT Women's Champion, won the championship on her main roster debut, had a movie made about her, has been in multiple main events. When she got injured, they had her as a general manager. They had her on WWE Backstage. They had her on Total Divas, which was a blockbuster TV show. So I don't understand why you would take jabs at a company that has only treated you well. If it was honestly anyone else, they would have a point, you know? But I don't think it went anywhere or had any, you know, weight to it because it's not true, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's it just is a bad take.
I understand probably her reasoning behind it. Maybe it's kind of the cool thing to do to get a little attention. Oh, my way. She mentioned the other company. First of all, that's been kind of, I think, overdone a little bit in AEW. You know, and it kind of shows you that WWE is ignoring them, and AEW is taking jabs at somebody they know has a superior. Yeah, and they're doing it for attention, and I know why they're doing it. I don't hate it, but I also think it's a bit of an overplayed card that people do. Like, MJF has done it how many times?
It's overkill.
Yeah. So I understand the effect it's supposed to have, but if she truly means that, then I don't think she's right based on, I mean, what you just talked about, how many times they've kept her on air, kept her employed, paid her when she's not in the ring, you know?
Mm-hmm. And see, like I want to make this clear, like, this doesn't make me, like, dislike Saraya or Paige or anything. Like, I still like her, and I think she's a great athlete, and she knows what she's doing in the ring, and she can cut a great promo. But here's the thing. It's like, that's why I don't think it was her, because I genuinely do not – I think she knows that. Like, all those things I listed off, that was her. It wasn't me doing it. It was her. So there's no way in her mind – that she believes that. So I feel like it was kind of put in. She kind of like might have been given that to say. Like you said, it's AEW's trend to take jabs at WWE. So I could totally see that being thrown in for her, because if she genuinely believes that, which I don't think she does, then she needs to be drug tested. But also, speaking of drug tests, you know, Triple H saved her career multiple times because she failed multiple drug tests. I mean, she could have been fired off of WWE, but they kept her. Just saying that. But then again, all of that put aside, I hope she does great. And I honestly hope to God that division, the women's division in AEW needs serious help. And if Saraya is the one that can help them, and I think she possibly could, I'm not going to say she can, but she possibly could, I wish the best for her. And I hope she does fix the division over there, because they need a lot of help.
Yeah, I mean, you follow it much more than I do with AEW, but from what I hear and whatever I see it, I mean, it's like Britt Baker and everybody else. You know, I know that there's some other women, Jade Cardwell, I think I got that right. So, yeah, I mean, they've got some good talent, but every time I turn around, people are saying that same exact thing, and I think that Paige or Saraya certainly could add a lot. Not only does she have star power, which of course she does, and this is the first time she's come back to the ring in how many years. You know, certainly there's that, but it also is going to, there's going to come a time where she has to actually deliver. You know, can she still go in the ring? It's not just, okay, yo, cool, Paige or Saraya's back, whatever. It's okay, cool, nice to see you. Can you actually deliver? Can you deliver the goods? Can you have a good match? You know, and I don't know that answer. And I hope that she's actually 100% okay to do. I really hope she's not putting herself in jeopardy. There's got to be a reason WWE didn't put her back into the ring.
Oh, my God.
From a medical reason, there can't just be politics involved. People the women's division really in WWE needs help too. I mean, but more so in AEW, there's got to be a reason WWE didn't do it from a medical perspective. Their doctors must not have cleared her for some reason. And I just hope that there's not a reason – that's not a reason that's going to put her in jeopardy in AEW. I don't think – she seems like a smart woman, but I just – I hope that's not the case.
And here's the thing, like, about that. I think that how it all played out, Vince was still in charge when they released her, technically. And I would have said – and he was still in charge a little while afterwards, and I'm pretty sure when Triple H – came in, there were they had to probably already be in talks of a deal at AEW. So I feel like if Triple H was in charge earlier, he would have brought her back, because that's like his NXT staple right there, inaugural champion, hello. But also, you bring up being safe, it's really funny because, you know, for a woman who broke her neck, I think AEW is the AEW women's division in general is the worst division to be in because of how many injuries have happened over there, like from competitor to competitor. It's going to be scary, honestly, to watch her compete in the ring because there's been some mishaps that I've seen.
You're going to hold your breath every time she, I mean, that – it scares me. I mean, you know, from a, just like a human perspective, not from like, oh, more than she can, more than my concern about can she actually still perform well to my standards. No, I'd be more concerned about her actual neck. Like, you know, if you said,
Ruby Soho, I could totally, if I'm wrong on this, someone please call me out, but I'm pretty sure she was just dropped on her neck in a match that she had, and she's out right now because of that. I'm pretty sure I could totally be wrong on that. If I'm wrong, correct me. But, yeah, so I don't know. I wish her the best, though.
Yeah, I do, too. I hope it works out well for her. I think at some point she will definitely be back in WWE for at least the Hall of Fame induction. Mm-hmm. I mean, Paige, I even think she is deserving of a Hall of Fame induction for the women's division in WWE. I do think at some point she will be. Mm-hmm. If not, maybe when her contract expires, she has that one final match if she can medically be cleared. But for now, she's an AEW star, and I'm with you. I wish her the best. But do you have anything else before we conclude here?
Yes, Matt, your favorite topic, Roman Reigns.
No. Oh, gosh. What's your take on it?
Okay, well, it's not really about Roman Reigns. I don't really give a about that situation. I'm kind of over it, and I'm not going to discuss it more because I've been listening for a little bit. So I'm going to spare you on that. But I have a theory that I think is a fantastic theory, and I saw it on Twitter. I don't know who – so if whoever tweeted this wrote this, this is credit to you, but I don't have it verbatim, like word for word, but basically the general idea was Seth Rollins versus Roman, which is I feel like a popular, you know, pick for someone taking the belt off Roman. People want it to be Seth, me included. And I heard a fantastic theory on Twitter, which was a ladder match between Roman and Seth. And, you know, they're going back and forth, Seth playing his mind games as usual. You know, one gets the upper hand, the other gets the upper hand. And at the end of the match, basically, it ends with them going both on top of the ladders. They grab the belt. They're fighting over the belt. One grabs each. Seth grabs the WWE Championship, and Roman grabs the Universal. They both fall off of the ladder holding the titles. And then that ends that. And you have kind of a split created in its own way.
I would take – that's as good as anything I've heard. I've said on record, I don't care how it happens if they just – don't even discuss it and all of a sudden it just happens. I would accept that. But that to me makes a lot of sense because he's having to carry around these two belts, which I actually don't understand. If you've told me that it's merged – it's been like, what, how many months since WrestleMania? Your belt team can't come up with a single championship belt just to merge it? Just pick one of the belts and stick with it and call that the Undisputed Universal Championship. I mean, like, why they need to have him carry two belts? I guess it's for the visual of him holding two belts instead of one. It's a better picture. It's a better look. I don't know. But yeah, I'm all for that. If they want to make that a stipulation, or that the finish of a ladder match with Seth to get one of those belts off of Roman, yes. Like, sign me up tomorrow, and you can go on a 10,000 day reign with Roman as Universal. But for that's the thing. I know it, that's the biggest complaint I have, and I think most fans have, is there's no champion on Raw. He's not even on Raw ever. He's on every four SmackDowns, every second or third pay per view. It's just it's too much. It's not even to the point of, like, I want to see someone beat up Roman. I just want to see guys on the other brand get a chance for their careers.
And it's like, I feel like there's a really big misconception about, like, people, like, when you say you don't like the situation with Roman, you automatically just, you know, don't like Roman. No, I actually like Roman Reigns. I think he's fantastic. I can't help but, you know, sit up when he comes out and, like, pay attention, because he just has that presence. But the thing I just don't like is, like, he doesn't have to have both belts. Like, he really doesn't. The one he has a streak with is the Universal. So I have no problem with him keeping the Universal. Keep going on that streak, hit 1,000 days. I don't care. Go ahead. He honestly, he can do it, sure. But just, he doesn't need both belts. Like, it's just, he's not even doing anything with, like, there's no point.
It's something I really do believe, though. At the end of the day, they're going to want to get to that 1,000. They are salivating to get to that $1,000, that 1,000 days. They are dying. They're sitting there going, guys, they probably have a countdown in the office. Like, guys, 250 days, 249 days, you know, because they know that it's going to be this big thing. They can promote the hell out of it on Raw and SmackDown. They already have a documentary. Mm. They probably already have cameras following Roman around where, you know, there's going to be, like, day 756 of Roman's run, day 800. Like, they've already got this all produced. And I understand that's what they do. But living in the moment,
he just
living
doesn't
in
need
it right now,
WWE Championship.
It's just, yeah, just give us the WWE Championship and continue your streak. The streak was up to, what, 500 days, 500 and something days before the WWE Championship came into it. So the majority of this streak is just with the Universal. So continue. Like, just give us the WWE back.
Yeah, it's really not a hard thing to figure out, but, you know.
Yeah, it gives me a little more hope that Triple H is in charge and not Vince. If Vince were in charge, as I said, it would be Roman Reigns versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I mean, like, that's probably the opponent he would choose is somehow himself. And so that's encouraging, though, that at least Triple H is there. He has to know what fans are saying and thinking. Triple H is much more in tune, or at least much more reactive to what fans are thinking and wanting than Vince seemed to be, as Vince seemed to be more of the, I know better than you, and I'm going to give you something that you didn't know you wanted, which sometimes would be the case, but more often than not, it wouldn't be. So I'm more encouraged with Triple H in charge than I am with Vince. You know, Vince in charge would be very scary right now, at least from a Roman Reigns perspective. But, all right, well,
agreed.
Do you have anything else before we conclude here?
No, I think that's about it. I was going to tell you, I'm going to Raw in October 24th. They're coming to Charlotte. So
cool. If
you need someone for a Monday night review for an in-person take, hit me up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to put the responsibility on you, because I am awful at remembering this stuff. So why don't you, because I will not remember that. I'm all for it. Just send me a message, you know, wherever, and just say, hey, just lock me in so I can actually put it in my phone. Because if you just tell me, it will be erased from my brain in 5 minutes. So that would be much appreciated.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
All right. Well, thanks, Grace. And we will connect soon.
Yeah, for sure. You have a good night.
You too. All right. So I know we have another caller here, and every time I say I think I know who it is, I'm wrong. So I'm gonna pretend I have no idea who this is, and let's get to area code 516. What's going on, buddy?
Hello. What's going on, Matt? This is DJ Kuzma here on the Mailbag Show. Congratulations, man, on your 100th episode. I just wanted to come on live just to talk with you. And I know a whole bunch of other callers, they were, you know, talking to you about professional wrestling. And I just had this thought, right, with the trying to bring back the old WCW belt. You know, the idea that I had was that, you know, since Roman Reigns still has both the titles, he has both the Universal and the WWE, you know, wouldn't it have made sense if, let's say, Triple H somehow brought back the WCW belt, the World Heavyweight title belt, for Monday Night Raw, you know, have maybe some sort of tournament, and let's say the winner of that tournament that same night becomes the champion. So, because I know that they're, going to plan to unify the belts for Roman Reigns, or just going to keep them separate, which kind of doesn't make any sense. I mean, he's the unified champion, but he still has two belts. So, you know, just a concept that I thought of, you know, bringing back, you know, the World Heavyweight title, put it on Monday Night Raw, because still to this day, Monday Night Raw still doesn't have a major champion. I mean, we have Bobby Lashley, but, you know, we don't have, you know, the level of like a Roman Reigns on Monday Night Raw. So, yeah.
I like it. Yeah, I mean, because we haven't seen, like I said, it's been an eternity since we've had somebody on Monday Night Raw as a champion on a consistent basis. And that WCW yep. championship belt that I remember Triple H held, mm-hmm. it felt like, you know, also an eternity on Raw in the early 2000s.
Exactly.
I like that belt. A lot of people like that belt, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, it's kind of similar around the same time frame, because I think it was like around 2002. Around 2002 mm-hmm. when they brought back the World Heavyweight title on Monday Night Raw, I think it was like right around, I think like October, November, like when it was about to change into, like they was going through the whole brand split and they brought back the World Heavyweight title. So I was thinking it's like kind of like an anniversary in a sense, because I think right now it's like almost the 20th year anniversary when they brought back the World Heavyweight title to Monday Night Raw. It would be like, you know, apropos to bring it back, you know, in 2022. So, you know.
As long as it's not the spinner belt. Like, I mean, if they bring back the spinner belt,
no.
Like, that's one I would vote against, right? Like, no spinner belts. None of that. I mean, maybe the smoking skull belt. I love that. That's one of my favorite modifications.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
That was awesome. Yeah,
but no spinner belt. I'm good with that World Heavyweight Championship belt, or maybe the Winged Eagle mm-hmm. Championship belt with like Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart era.
Okay.
But I don't know if they would do that, only because unless they're going to keep Roman champion, you know, for another 1,000 days, I think they're like, well, we're already 80% through this. You know, fans can deal with another mm-hmm. couple of 100 days. We're already through most of it, and then we'll take the belt off Roman, and you know. So I'm all for it if they're going to do a much longer run with Roman, but if they're not, I think that they're not going to do it.
Yeah, because the main focus is not even the WWE title. The main focus is the Universal title, because they don't mention how many days he has been holding the WWE title, only the Universal, since, you know, when he defeated Bray Wyatt in 2020, and that's when the amount of the days started to count down. I guess they're trying to get to 1,000, but because, you know, the main focus is more on the Universal. So the WWE is kind of like, you know, kind of being like in the shadows since he won both the belts at WrestleMania. So, I mean, I don't know, like, in terms of how they would take the two belts off him. So that's how I was thinking about, hey, maybe, you know, bringing back the World Heavyweight title. So at least, you know, we have that Monday Night Raw at least has a major champion. And speaking about Bobby Lashley, I don't know what's going on with Bobby Lashley. He just had a phenomenal match last week with Seth Rollins. He was in a backstage segment this past Monday Night Raw. I don't know if he's caught in on the Hulu version, but he didn't really have any interaction in the ring or anything. I don't know what's going on with the booking for him. I don't know if they're kind of saving him for Survivor Series against Gunther, but I don't know what's going on with the booking of Bobby Lashley. And I don't know in terms of like other like credible opponents that he could face, you know, in the meantime before we get to Survivor Series. So I'm a little bit concerned about that with Bobby Lashley.
I don't think they know. Maybe they're building him for Veer Mahan, right? Like, I mean, who knows? it could be, right? Like, maybe that's the payoff. Yeah, Bobby Lashley has been sadly an afterthought after such a great run, you know, that he's had. All of a sudden, he just disappeared. And, you know, as you said, he had a great match with Seth Rollins. I mean, a pay-per-view quality match last week on Monday Night Raw. That was just, it was so good. And then he disappears for a while, and then he's backstage, and that's it. And it's like, I don't know. I think they're probably saying the same thing you are. How can you not showcase your United States champion who is at the prime of his career and not put him in some kind of program? They have no opponent for him right now. I think that's why.
Example, like, I think a couple of months ago, you saw how they did the video package for the United States champions, all of the past United States champions, you know, kind of bringing credibility to the United States title. But then since then, it's like, it's kind of been lackluster with Bobby Lashley in the booking, you know. And look, even looking at SmackDown, you can see the difference with Gunther and Bobby Lashley. Obviously, you know, both of, one of them is a heel and another one is a babyface. But you see that Gunther, like, guy is like, as soon as he came to SmackDown, he's made a major impact on the roster, and you know, he's holding on to the Intercontinental title, hopefully maybe till next year, I don't know. But going back to Bobby Lashley, I don't see that with him, so I don't know in terms of how they're going to work him in into some sort of feud with maybe Gunther for Survivor Series, or you know, they just kind of have him, you know, do backstage segments. But it's something got to get with the booking with Bobby Lashley, so
I think a draft, like a reset of the roster, would really help him. Maybe a change of scenery.
Yeah.
You know, maybe swap the IC and United States champions. One goes to SmackDown, the other goes to Raw. That really may help. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me see. As Grace was mentioning about Saray, I don't know how to pronounce her name, but I'll just call her Paige. She made her kind of like her dynamite debut last night, and she was mentioning about how she was a little bit nervous because it was in Philadelphia last night, so you know how Philly could be very tough over there. But I don't know in terms of if she's still injured or if she is ready to compete, because I think the crowd was kind of like looking to see if she was, you know, gonna, you know, have a feud with Britt Baker, you know, the way how they were going at it at Grand Slam last week. So I don't know in terms of, you know, how they're going to kind of put her into some matches, whether, because I know they have AEW Dark and Dark Elevation, but I don't know if they're going to put her on those shows. But the crowd was kind of like thinking of, is she going to have a feud with Britt Baker? You know, what's the whole status, you know, with her injury? So it's kind of up in the air right now, but it's good to see her back in pro wrestling.
It is good to see her back. I would imagine they wouldn't have brought her back if they didn't think she could physically compete. I mean, we saw the talking-only version of Paige in WWE for how long in the backstage, and she was GM for a while, and like, and we were all waiting, like, when is she coming back? So I think that if they didn't think she could get in the ring, she wouldn't be there. You know, I don't know what her level of comfort is. I don't know how well she can perform at this point. I don't know. I mean, time's going to tell. She seems like she's in decent shape. Doesn't look like she's been sitting on her couch for the last 2 years. But I don't know. Until she gets in the ring, until we see it, I don't know. But I would imagine she's there to wrestle.
Yeah. Obviously, because since he's over there in AEW. Another thing, MJF. I know the Magic Year 2024. Like, I'm thinking, like, he may pull a CM Punk. You know, he would try to take the AEW title and bring it to WWE. Do you think that kind of scenario may happen? Let's say, okay, he wins the AEW World Heavyweight title, let's say, next year, like, in maybe close to the end of 2023. And then by the time his contract expires, he shows up at the Royal Rumble with the AEW title, probably, like, at number 30. So do you see some sort of scenario where he kind of try to pull a CM Punk and, you know, ditch AEW with the title and then come to WWE and, you know, let's say he, you know, comes in at number 30 at the Royal Rumble?
First of all, I cannot wait to see MJF in WWE. It makes me more excited now that Triple H is in charge, not Vince, because I think Triple H understands a little bit more about what MJF is and what he's good at, rather than Vince trying to put his fingerprints on it and WWE-izing him when he doesn't need to be touched at all. So, but that said, do I think he's going to bring it, like, do that scenario? I don't. The reason is because I don't think WWE would want to give free promotion to AEW. AEW would be all for it because they'd get free promotion on WWE TV. People would what kind of belt is that? That's WWE. Yeah. So it's all really, there's really nothing for WWE to gain by doing that, but there's everything to gain for AEW. Mm-hmm. So WWE would go, what do we get out of this? Nothing. You know, so they probably won't do that. I would be, as a fan, we'd be like, oh, that's hilarious. That's great.
That would be awesome.
But as WWE, if I'm management, I'd go, what are we getting out of this again? You know, like we're just giving free promotion to AEW. So probably not to that, but I do think he will be coerced into coming into WWE. I do believe that the second his contract is up, I do believe WWE is going to go right after him, and they should.
Yeah, because I didn't hear any mention of him kind of like, you know, like AEW giving him an extension. I didn't hear anything because when he came back, there was no mention of him like re-signing or any like new changes in the contract. You know, it was kind of like Tony Khan on his hands and knees, literally on his hands and knees begging MJF to come back because, you know, AEW was kind of like tanking a little bit when he wasn't there on Dynamite. So I don't know in terms of his contract situation, you know, because it looks like 2024 might be the year that, you know, he ends up in WWE. So, you know, let's hope.
and MJF has been very clear. I've heard him say that he doesn't want to sign any contract extensions, that he wants it to be a bidding war come January 1st. Mm. You know, like he has made it very clear that he doesn't want, has no interest in signing any contract extensions from Tony Khan. So, very good. Cool.
What's going on with Hulu? What's going on with Hulu? And because I'm hearing that I was reading an article that said something about I think it has some negotiation issues with, you know, with the content, and they're going to get rid of WWE off of Hulu because Dennis McGinley, shout out to Dennis McGinley, he sent me a DM because he was kind of like confused as well, like they're going to get rid of WWE and, you know, how so somebody that's not watching it live, right, how can they be able to watch, you know, the episode the day after, you know, because Peacock, on Peacock nowadays, they have most of the episodes from, like, let's say a couple months back, like maybe 3 or 4 months back, you know, but they don't have it, like, the next day. So in terms of that, like, I think they said something about, last time I checked, something about, like, they're going to try to renegotiate so that WWE stays on Hulu, but it's kind of up in the air right now with, you know, with the whole situation with that.
So, yeah, I mean, the reason is that you see the old episodes on Peacock that are like a month old or whatever. It's because Hulu owns the exclusive next day rights. They are the only provider anywhere. No cable company, no Spectrum, no Comcast, nobody has the right to air Raw the next day, only Hulu. And right now they're in negotiations and they pushed they pushed the contract another 2 weeks just to get us through, I think, SmackDown on Friday, and then it does expire for good.
Yeah,
so like tomorrow. Yeah. After tomorrow, if they don't come to an agreement, we're not going to get the next day on Hulu. So I don't know where it's going to go. They got to have something. I think they'll come to terms with something. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had that extension for 2 weeks. If they felt they weren't going to be able to do it or they were moving on, they wouldn't have done it. They would have said, no, I think we've got another place we're going. It's you know, Netflix or Peacock or wherever. And I think they'll come to an agreement. I truly think they will.
And also, I was reading a little bit with Disney, right? Because there's also a possibility. I'm just throwing it out there. There's a possibility that Disney could actually purchase Hulu. So in terms of that, you know, you probably see WWE content, you know, maybe move to Disney Plus because they were trying to find a way to acquire Hulu like a couple of years ago, but it didn't work out. So they kind of see how that could work out because, you know, you have ESPN and all of the other networks kind of connected with Hulu. And, you know, so it's kind of interesting to see how that goes about. But I don't want to be honest, I kind of miss the WWE Network with the whole the streaming service. You know, I'm still kind of getting used to Peacock, but I still miss the WWE Network, how everything was there. You know, you have all your content and stuff like that. But, yeah, the whole Hulu and WWE is kind of, it's kind of some shady waters right now with this whole, you know, negotiation process.
I miss the original WWE. I'm with you. Like, I miss that app. You just pop in. It was perfectly – it was customized for wrestling content. Now it's, you got to search. It's not immediately there. It's still kind of sloppily done. Mm-hmm. It's just not the same.
Yeah,
and I don't think it'll be acquired. I still don't think Hulu will be acquired if they do, if WWE is ever bought out by Disney, which I actually don't think they will now, because I think WWE realizes that if they go TV-14, that Disney's not going to be involved in TV-14 content. Like, you can't have WWE Raw on the Disney Plus, you know, package. I mean, because especially if you go TV-14. It's a weird mix. And you can't have Cinderella next to, like, you know, somebody bleeding, you know?
Right. Because it's family-oriented. And I also heard about, this is kind of outside of wrestling, with the whole Deadpool. I'm not familiar with Deadpool. Like, I think they're trying to do a Deadpool 3, but I don't know if the Deadpool 3 is going to be kind of, you know, not too rated R, but kind of PG in a sense, because, you know, they try to hit it to the MCU. So I don't know how they're working with that, and, you know, in terms of putting it on Disney Plus. But yeah, it's kind of interesting to see where that goes with Hulu and WWE. Man, other than that, man, it was good talking to you live. You know, it's like when you do stuff live, you know, it's like you can't go back.
Nope, can't.
You know, there's
nope.
No editing. You know, I just want to do a quick this or that with you. Kind of things that I just came to my mind. Okay, here's a this or that. The Marvel, the MCU or DC?
Say that again. Which one?
No, this or that. So my question is, whether you choose the MCU or do you choose Disney?
Oh, Disney.
No, I mean, in terms of, like, okay, so the this or that is either you like the Marvel Comic Universe or you like the DC Universe.
Oh, I misheard you. I gotcha. Okay, the audio quality on my end is not as good as it normally is. So,
okay.
No, I get you now. Got it. Oh boy. I'd have to say Marvel. Marvel.
Same here. Eric, here's another one. Let me see. Hot dogs or hamburgers?
Okay, it depends, like, where am I getting this hot dog? Is there cheese on it? You know, is it McDonald's? Is it Five Guys?
Could be like a Five Guys, yeah, Five Guys, like five. Right. Okay, here's one: Five Guys burgers or McDonald's.
Oh, Five Guys. I mean, Five Guys.
Okay. All right. Let's see. I think that's all I can think of right now. But it was great talking to you, man, and all the best once again on the 100th episode. Shout out to Kyle, Pumpfire Kyle. Shout out to Mr. Casual Wrestling Fan. Shout out to Grace. Shout out to everybody that has been listening from day one of the mailbag. This is DJ Kuzmo. I'm out of here, and catch me on the voice messages and the Bear Mahan report coming soon to the mailbag.
Awesome. Thanks, DJ. I'm really glad you called in. Thanks so much. That's DJ Kuzmo, guys. Back at it again on the Mailbag Show. Good to hear him. Good to hear everybody here. We have a few more voicemails that you guys sent in. And before we get there, I do want to make sure I get to the emails, because I think we might have one other email. And that's, yes, we do. We have one from Jeff. Jeff Hay, who's a patron of the show. And he says, "Hey, Matt, congrats on the episode 100 of the Mailbag. It's my favorite segment of your series, and I really appreciate your willingness to discuss everyone's opinions and not be dismissive of anything just because it may not be your cup of tea. My question is this week about announcers. I feel like, besides the fact that it's the only brand with a resident champion, SmackDown has overtaken Raw as the company's flagship show. Pat McAfee announcing really solidified that opinion for me. I've been really bitter about Game Day temporarily borrowing him from WWE. McAfee has that Jerry Lawlerness about him where he says what he's thinking, whether it is deemed to be too inappropriate or not. He toes the line with Taboo, and at least I find that to be most entertaining out of all the announcers. Michael Cole is proficient. I like the heel persona of Corey Graves enough to not find him annoying, and I think Jimmy Smith is unbearably bland, and Byron Saxton is as quiet as a mouse until either Corey makes fun of him or something big happens in a match. Then Byron just shouts and freaks out worse than Joey Styles on crack. All that being said, to me, SmackDown is moving along well with Cole and Graves, but I feel like Raw is stuck in the mud with its lack of major champion paired with its crappy team of announcers or commentators. I would love to see Graves to SmackDown permanently and McAfee to Raw when he comes back. I feel like that would be a major improvement. In the meantime, Raw should temporarily bring in JBL, Booker T, or maybe even someone like R-Truth to carry them until McAfee's return. What is your opinion on WWE's current commentary situation, and what do you think is the best way to improve it if you feel it needs any improvement at all? Well, I mean, everything always needs improvement, but you know, Pat McAfee not being on SmackDown is a big loss for SmackDown because he adds so much energy to the presentation. And, you know, Corey Graves was kind of the shiny new toy until Pat McAfee came along, and he was like a better version of Corey Graves. And, yeah, Pat McAfee being gone through football season does stink. But he'll be back, you know, and he'll, people will love it, and, you know, it'll be nice to see him again. Here's what I think about it, though. I think that you have Pat McAfee and Michael Cole on SmackDown, and I'd keep it that way. The reason I'd keep it that way is they have chemistry. They have really good chemistry together. Cole genuinely enjoys him, and he has also kind of revived Cole's career. You know, it's not just about McAfee. I think he has revived Michael Cole's career, one of the most, I think, underappreciated announcers of all time, simply for the fact that he had to follow the greatest announce team of all time of Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler. You know, Cole is just put in a very untenable situation. But when you look at this on Raw, yeah, Jimmy Smith is as robotic as it gets, Mr. Vanilla. He's not good. He's not bad. He's just there. Right? He's like the wallpaper. Nobody really talks about it. He's just there. It does what it needs to do. And, you know, and it's not disrespect to Jimmy Smith. I'm not saying it's easy. And I'm sure he's not actually that bland in real life. But he comes across just kind of, you said, towing the company line, saying the buzzwords, talking about momentum. I wish he would not refer to Seth Rollins as Seth freaking Rollins every single time he says his name. You don't need to say the middle part every time. You can just say Seth Rollins. That's I know I'm the only one that's bothered by that. But overall, you know, yeah, Raw needs a kick in the butt in terms of a announce team. Or you know what I'd do? Maybe it's addition by subtraction. If I was to subtract one person from Raw to make it more streamlined, I would take Byron Saxton out. I think Byron Saxton adds next to nothing to that team. And I haven't been a fan of Byron Saxton nearly ever, unless he got stunned by Stone Cold Steve Austin, which he did a couple of times. I actually think Byron Saxton would be an excellent heel manager of somebody. He would be an excellent heel manager. He's got that innate, just intangible, unlikable quality about him. He's got arrogance about him that he can't help it. He's got the face you want to punch. And I mean that, not that I actually want to hurt the guy, but just in a pro wrestling sense, I think he'd be an obnoxiously great heel, as a manager or otherwise. So as an announcer though, no, get rid of Saxon. He adds nothing. All he does is sit there and, you know, like he doesn't know what the hell's going on and try to be the moral compass of the team. Plus three is a crowd. You know, I think you have the color commentator and you have the play-by-play, period. You don't need to add a third person. A third person just muddies up the water. Get Saxon out of there. That's what I think. But yeah, Booker T, I wouldn't put him on commentary. He's a loose cannon. He's unpredictable. He says things that don't make sense. And Booker T's voice isn't also very listenable for long periods of time. He's just got a raspy voice, and it's just the way he is. I wouldn't put him there. You know, he's one of the greatest of all time, no doubt, but I wouldn't put him on the commentary team. I never enjoyed him on the commentary team when he was on Raw on a regular basis, nor would I put JBL. JBL is, I don't know, not exactly my cup of tea either. So he's got a bit of an arrogance about him. And so I'd keep Booker T and JBL to the pre-shows and sit them there with, what's his name from Hot 97? I can't think of his name. The radio guy. He also does like the Michael K and the Michael K show. My God, I can't think of his name. Rosenberg. That's his name. So That, to me, would be the team. It would just be Jimmy Smith and Corey Graves for now. Just leave it at that. Keep it simple and don't muddy the water. But thanks, Jeff. And let's get to, let's see, a couple more voicemails, and we will close the whole night out. It's been longer than I expected, but that's okay. The live calls have been a lot of fun. Let's see if I can work this here. We're live as live can be. Let's get to the second voicemail here and see who it is.
Hey, Matt. It's and the Tacos family. It's Permafire Kyle back on the 100th episode of the Mailbag Celebration. Hopefully you heard that. Hopefully it was loud and clear. That's not a fact. Celebration noise. Sorry. I have brain fart for a second. I'm actually at work right now. But I wanted to call because, hey, it's the 100th episode. I have to. I can't think of any wrestling questions at the moment because most of them that you answered already on your Raw review. I think of one. Can't think of one at the moment. So you know what I'll just say? I have another question for you. Out of all the first 100 mailbag episodes, this is a question for Matt. If you remember any, what was your favorite moment? Like, what was your favorite, funniest moment on the first 100 mailbags? Like, funny thing that someone said that made you laugh or something. I don't know. Your favorite moment. I don't know. Can't think of anything else to say. I just wanted to call and this is the 100th episode. what else? What else happened on Raw? Well, NXT on the other hand. NXT, I heard NXT might be getting, what is up with me tonight? I can't think of what to say at all. NXT next week might be not having, might not be 2.0, NXT 2.0 anymore. They might be rebranding it again. I've heard about that. But yeah. But my 3 minutes are almost up. This is probably the most awkward call ever done in the mailbag. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm humiliating myself. Making myself look like an idiot. Because I couldn't have anything to say. I didn't have anything to say when I call. I just wanted to see if this was the 100th episode. So I'll talk to you guys next week. See you next time.
Well, Kyle, I'm going to one-up you on feeling like an idiot. Let's see who wins. Because I actually don't know what my favorite moment is on the mailbag. Everything is such a blur to me. You know, doing that episode 100 times. We actually have, in total, this podcast has like 1,200 episodes. But the particular mailbag show, over 100 episodes. I remember flashes of things and moments of things. And what I really like, you know, when I look at the mailbag is I get so many different walks of life. I get old and young men and women. That's what's cool, you know, like hearing and meeting so many different people that have gone on to do their own podcasts or have gone on to host a show on this podcast. That's kind of my favorite part. I know it's a cop out. Everyone's looking for like a hilarious moment. And if I actually had a budget to do so, I would like, you know, hire a production team to go through 100 episodes and find some funny clips. I don't have the time nor the money to do that. So we're going to be super unprofessional here and say, I don't know. other than the relationships that we formed and been able to, you know, help out other people, you know, make their own shows or come on this show and, you know, do an AEW review or an NXT review, whatever it may be. That's kind of the cool thing. Like, people come and go, hosts come and go. It's the nature of this deal. But overall, like, we all share the same love, and that's the love of wrestling. So how cheesy is that? See, I think I beat you in the embarrassing part. Okay, let's get to our final voicemail, guys, and then we will close it out here.
Hey, man, it's Justin from Maryland. It's been a while. I got a new job, so my hours are kind of like in the way of me trying to call into the mailbag, but it's good to be able to call in. It's got some things I want to discuss. So first is Seth Rollins. I'm loving his work right now. I'm interested in the match against Riddle at Extreme Rules. I'm hoping that Seth still goes over because he stated that he wants to challenge Roman, so I think that he should definitely go over. It wouldn't make sense for him to lose and then challenge Roman. So definitely looking forward to Seth and the rest of this year. And I like that new submission. So hopefully that he uses that submission to beat Riddle after the stomp. Next is Roman and the whole Bloodline situation. I love the segment with Sami on SmackDown. I was laughing the whole time. Jey Uso, he just hates Sami. Like every week he's just going off on Sami, and Sami's like, "What is your problem?" Like, I just think it's just great TV. I think also I agree that this will eventually lead to Sami and KO against the Usos for the titles. I'm not sure who Usos will face at Extreme Rules. Probably nobody. But I love everything going on right now. I don't really care about Logan Paul and Roman. Logan Paul has no chance of winning. You had multiple options better than Logan Paul. This is just a marketing match. So I fully expect Roman to go over. And hopefully we get somebody returns after the match to set up his next feud. Hopefully Bray Wyatt, because I definitely can't wait to see him come back. Finally, Edge and Finn. I was kind of surprised with the I Quit match. I thought they were going to go with some tag match involving Dom and Ray. But I hope that Finn comes out with a win, because it's still building up Judgment Day. I think Ray, Edge, and Dominic, everybody would get involved, probably get some type of screwy finish. But I'm looking forward to hopefully Finn goes over. I don't think Edge needs this win. I think Finn needs this win more. I think that's it. Belair and Bayley. I think this will probably be stressed out until, like, the Royal Rumble. I don't think Bayley's going to win. Probably some type of screwy finish or a DQ finish. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. It's a ladder match. I'm sorry. I think that Bayley will not win. I think Belair will win.
Well, you got cut off by the three-minute timer there, Justin. I apologize. But, okay, so a lot of points here. I'll touch on a couple of them, and I'll just say the Sami Zayn thing. I haven't really touched a ton on this, but I want to comment on it, that Sami Zayn has been very enjoyable, and he's making himself a big star. He's making a lot of money selling those T-shirts, too, the Honorary Ooze T-shirt. It's a great T-shirt. It's a great idea for a T-shirt, and you know, so good to WWE, good for Roman, good for Sami Zayn and all that. And when you also look at the ladder match between Bianca Belair and Bayley, it probably does get stretched out. As far as when Bayley finally captures it, I could definitely see it being not until a major pay-per-view. I don't see Bianca Belair, while I don't mind if she drops it, I can see WWE wanting to stretch it out a little bit longer, even though I feel like Bayley, or rather Bianca, has been champion for forever, nearly. So, yeah. And your comment about Seth Rollins and Riddle. Seth does need the victory if he's going to be facing against Roman Reigns in the near future. Definitely. You know, I think Seth isn't always in need of big wins. Seth has needed big wins for a long time. He continues to lose and lose and lose the big ones anyway. And one final comment before I end the show here is, and I mentioned this in my show last night, I can't remember, but Bray Wyatt, when he won the championship, how did he win it? How did he lose it? I'm sorry. When Bray Wyatt lost that Universal Championship, pop quiz, when did he lose it? SummerSlam 2020. How did he lose it? Roman Reigns. So, is it very apropos, very poetic, that Bray Wyatt returns, and attacks Roman Reigns with that logic? That he could say, you were the start of my downfall, now I'm going to bring you down with me? Seems a bit pedestrian, but it may work. So, all right. Thank you, everyone, for calling in, for writing in. If I missed your voicemail or email, I apologize. I hope I got to everybody. If I didn't, I always have a makeup. So, you know, there's always some one or two people every week, it seems like, that I miss, and I feel bad, and I just incorporate them on the weekend review show. So if I miss anybody, and you're like, hey, he didn't get to my stuff, I don't do it on purpose. And if I did, or if I missed it on purpose, rather, I will make it up on the weekend review. I'll sneak that into that show. So thank you to everyone for calling in, for emailing, for all the voicemails. This is a lot of fun. Thank you for 100 episodes to 100 more or 1,000 more. Let's do the Roman Reigns deal. Let's go to 1,000. All right. Thanks, everybody. I'll be back on Sunday with your week in review. Until then, take care, and I'll talk to you next time.